In order to progress in their complete domination over the king and Iran, the American diplomats had influenced many governmental organizations and institutions. However, their influence was more prominent in three important divisions, namely the court, the army, and the secret police, or Savak. The royal court of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, which organized all his financial and personal affairs, was located in Sadabad complex. The royal courts have been the oldest and the most experienced, and at the same time the most unpopular institutions for preserving and solidifying domination of the governors in history. To gain a position in the court ministry, faithfulness to the king and gaining the trust of the king were among the most important credentials. Directly led by the king, the court ministry used the smart and high-ranking people of four families to solidify its power by creating competition, jealousy, and hatred among them. The second agent which controlled Iran was the king's martial organization. This martial organization, which was called the Royal Army, blindly obeyed the orders of the senior commander. They were active in colluding with the king. Their presence in economic activities was unlimited. Marshal Hasan Tufanian, or the 5% general, who had gained a lot of wealth from trading weapons, was above these senior militants. He had been able to buy different weapons and military equipment worth more than $20 billion under the command of Mohammad Reza. 500 million dollars was the least sum he had gained as a commission in these trades. The king spent a lot of his working hours with this senior militant. The third agent in controlling the country was the evil organization of intelligence and security of Iran, or Savak. This scary organization had been founded by Lieutenant General Taimur Bakhtiar. After the coup of August 18, 1953, Savak did not rest a minute in following and arresting the opponents of the king. American and English organizers taught the latest principles of torture and inspection of prisoners. These people were invited to the United States and England for more training. These people were chosen from among those who had no ethical traits and had not even finished their high school education. A characteristic that prevailed in these people were savagery and brutality. They treated the arrested victims in a way that would gain the support of their superior. Their superiors shared the same characteristics and were willing to do anything to the arrested people to gain a particular social position. In this way, a series of people with the same orientations and the same social class had the duty to suppress any opponent or critic and execute the enemies of the king and his policies. The executive organizers of Savak directed this evil and scary organization carefully based on the opinions of the king during the entire 37 years of Mohammad Reza's kingship. Despite the Western-like pretenses of Mohammad Reza and his wife in defending human rights, the prisons throughout the country were always full of combatants and opponents against the king. However, the main portion of the revenues of the court and courtiers were earned by overt and covert collusions in trades which were done with the support and authority of Savak in the private offices of the princes. The Pahlavi Foundation, which was apparently a charitable organization and was created under the royal command of His Excellency, was the most important source of revenue for the king and the court. Royal commands was a term used for oriented financial and economic recommendations of the king, and the royal court carried them out as soon as possible. The burden of uncontrollable expenses of the Pahlavi Foundation was upon the economy of the country, but its abundant profits were deposited in the account of the king and the courtiers. The Pahlavi Foundation was one of the major profitable units of the court. The court ministry was a very confidential and frightening ministry, which was not answerable to anyone but the king. The authorities of this ministry were special and completely out of the control of the government.
این مجموعه‌ای که الان خدمت شما هست، مجموعه سعدآباد، این در زمان گذشته این ساختمان معروف بوده به وزارت دربار. در زمان طاغوت وظیفه رتق و فتق امور خاندان پهلوی و همچنین عرض که در پاسخ به حوایج نامشروع و نادرست این خانواده طریق وزیر دربار و ساختار وزارت دربار و همچنین امور تشریفات، امور عرض که پیگیری‌های این خاندان ارتباط از طریق وزارت دربار انجام می‌شد.
Here is the document center of Sadabad Museums, which was inaugurated a few weeks ago. Ms. Taj Bakhsh has managed to gather some of the remaining documents inside the palaces and establish a research center about Sadabad complex and investigate the unlimited authority of the court.
شاه هر کشور خارجی که میرفته هر نوع اسبی که میپسندیده براش خریداری میشده. البته یه سری افراد خاص هم داشت، خود شاه داشته، که این افراد رو مأمور میکردن در مسابقه اسبدوانی شرکت میکردن، مسابقه رو نزدیک میدیدن و اگر اسبی رو مورد پیشنهاد میکردن به شاه، این اسب خریداری میشده و به دربار فرستاده میشده. بعد اینجا باز اون سندی که بهتون گفتم در رابطه با خرید اسب، که یکی از همون کسایی که شاه مأمور کرده بوده برای انتخاب اسب و خرید اسب گفته در سفر اخیری که به آلمان داشتم در یک فرصت مناسب از یک اسب از یک استبل خصوصی بازدید کردم. دور از اسب 3 سال انتخاب شده که مبلغش مشخص شده، هر رأس 32,000 مارک بوده که گفتن که این پول پرداخت بشه و این برگرده، این اسبار رو بفرستن. که این ترتیب این بوده که به جناب آقای علم اطلاع داده می شده، ایشون هماهنگ می کردن با یکی از رابطاشون به نام آقای بهبهانیان که ایشون هم موافقت می کرده و این اسب خریداری می شود. در رابطه با گاراژهای سلطنتی که ماشین های بسیار متنوع و درجه یکی رو وارد دربار میکردن، حتی برای تعمیرات قطعات مختلفش هم باز به خارج از کشور مکاتبه میکردن که مشخص میدونه از این که اینجا ما البته داریم بررسی میکنیم که ببینیم مثلا هر شخص چند تا ماشین مختص خودش داشته. الان یکی از ماشینای یکی از نامه هایی که اینجا هست راجع به اتومبیل بنز 600 جناب آقای علم که یک شرکتی بوده که کار عمدی بنز اینجا انجام میده، شرکت مریخ بوده که تمام کاراشون رو براشون انجام میداده. باز راجع به مثلا یک اتومبیل کادیلاک هستش که اینجا مشخص شده که سفارت فرانسه ایران واشنگتن که قطعات رو مشخص که از اونجا وارد کشور میکردن جهت تعمیر ماشین ها. ما هنوز آمار نگرفتیم ولی خیلی شاید بگم یکی از بزرگترین پرونده های ما بخش گاراژ شاهنشاهی باشه.
Today, Sadabad complex and the other palaces of the Pahlavi dynasty are not the property of the courtiers anymore and are at the disposal of the people.
با توجه به سیاست های کلان نظام جمهوری اسلامی و همچنین سازمان میراث فرهنگی و گردشگری، صنایع دستی و گردشگری، از گذشته دور مجموعه سعدآباد رو با توجه به همون معرفی که نیاز بود مردم داشته باشیم و همچنین عبرت آموزی که مهمتر از اون معرفی هست برای مردم عزیز، البته که اینجا رو آماده کردن و در قالب تعداد زیادی موزه که الان در حال حاضر 12 تا موزه فعال هستش، ما همکاران ما دارن خدمات میدن به مردم عزیز، مردم میتونن بیان استفاده کنن در قالب چند چیز. یکی خود این ابنیه و کاخهای خاندان طاغوت هست از زمان قاجار هست و پهلوی هست، که دیگری باغ تاریخی هستش در این مجموعه هستش، و همچنین اشیا و اموال فرهنگی هستش که اینجا داریم ما. یه وحیه دارم بخشی هم عرصبت که موزه سندستی هست که معاصر هستش، مربوط به زمان معاصر جدید هستش، که مردم عزیز میتونن بیان استفاده کنن و هم معرفی میشه و اطلاع انتقال فرهنگی از هم عجب عبرت آموزی ببینن که واقعا چه بوده این خاندان منحوس، و الحمدلله ما تطبیق کنن اونو با جمهوری اسلامی ایران با وساد زیستی مقامات ارشد و نظام.
In 1978, there were only two ambassadors who visited the king. William Sullivan, the United States ambassador at the time, and Anthony Parsons, the English ambassador at the time. These visits increased during the last days of the king's presence in Iran, which was a reflection of their deep concern about the continuation of hegemony and their presence in Iran. Balta, the French expert and researcher from Paris, has conducted extensive studies about the relations between Iran and the United States. This book deals with the relations between the two countries and the ups and downs of these relations. Balta believes that the American officials made the biggest mistake and political blunder in their history by regarding the court, the king, and the people equal. The Islamic Revolution of Iran in 1979 was the undisputable right of all the Iranian people.
خب مداخله و توجه سو به کشور ایران و به نفت اون از مدت ها قبل در دستور کار آمریکایی ها قرار داشت. آمریکایی ها مزه نفت ارزان و تحت کنترل در ایران را از زمان کودتای 1953 به خوبی دریافته بودند و حمایتشون هم از شخص شاه به عنوان قدرت مطلق کشور از همین رو بود. شاه در حقیقت در دستان اونها قرار داشت. اما انقلاب ایران در سال 1979 این معادله رو به هم زد. اونهایی که در کاخ سفید واشنگتن نشسته بودند تصور می کردند انقلاب مذهبی ایران به عنوان یک سپر و مانع در برابر شوروی و کمونیسم عمل خواهد کرد. این نگاه منفعت جویانه بسیار خطا و اشتباه بود، چرا که امام خمینی به استقلال و تمامیت ایران تأکید داشتند و شعار نه شرقی نه غربی را در صدر سیاست خارجی ایران قرار داده بودند، و این چیزی بود که اونها به عنوان مداخله‌گر با اون مخالف بودند.
Now, three decades have passed from the time of the Great Islamic Revolution. The hegemony and authority of foreign powers have diminished. However, they still have an indescribable hostility towards Iranian people and the Islamic Revolution, which shows that they are never happy to see a country independent. Don't they know that the Iranian people are after their independence and freedom?